For nearly a millennium, Europe lived under the shadow of Islamic conquest. By the time of the First Crusade, three-quarters of the original Christian world had already fallen: the Holy Land, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. This wasn't merely religious conflict, but an existential struggle that would determine Western civilization's very survival. Eight extraordinary commanders emerged as bulwarks against this tide, not as aggressors, but as defenders of a civilization under siege. Their stories challenge modern sensibilities that often dismiss medieval warriors as religious zealots. Were they brutal men of their time, or did they embody virtues we've forgotten? And what might their struggles teach us about conviction in an age of moral uncertainty? Godfrey exemplified medieval Christian knighthood, deeply devout yet fearsome in combat. When Pope Urban II launched the First Crusade in 1095, describing Eastern Christians suffering under Turkish rule, Godfrey sold his ancestral lands to fund his immediate response. The crusade repeatedly tested his survival. In Asia Minor, he was mauled by a bear while rescuing a pilgrim. During Antioch's siege, he performed a deed worthy of remembrance forever by cleaving a Turkish warrior from shoulder to hip with one stroke. After Jerusalem fell in 1099, Godfrey was first to stop the bloodshed, withdrawing to pray. When offered Jerusalem's crown, he refused. "God forbid that I should be crowned with gold, where my Savior bore a crown of thorns." He accepted only the title Defender of the Holy Sepulchre. His reign lasted barely a year. He died at 40, possibly poisoned by Muslim chiefs feigning peace. His burial near Christ's tomb reflected his lifelong dedication. Rodrigo Díaz de Vivar, El Cid, rose from minor nobility to become Spain's greatest hero through military genius. After serving two kings, conflict with Alfonso VI led to his exile in 1081. With just 300 loyal followers, he served the Muslim king of Zaragoza, earning the name Al-Sayyid, the Lord, for his battlefield excellence. The situation shifted when the Almoravids, austere Islamic zealots from North Africa, invaded Spain in 1086, defeating Alfonso's forces and overthrowing moderate Muslim kingdoms. El Cid's crowning achievement was conquering Valencia in 1094. Despite overwhelming odds, he defeated the previously invincible Almoravids at Quarte and again at Biran in 1097. Though ruling Valencia justly with religious freedom for Muslims and lower taxes, he faced constant rebellion due to Al-Wala wa Bara, the Islamic doctrine separating Muslims from non-Muslims. El Cid died undefeated in July 1099, the same week Jerusalem was liberated. His legacy transcended his military victories, making him Spain's national hero celebrated in literature. The Third Crusade began after Saladin conquered Jerusalem in 1187. Richard I, with his reddish-gold hair, funded his campaign by selling properties after becoming king. Richard made an impact at Acre in 1191 by sinking a Muslim supply ship. Despite suffering from scurvy, he directed operations from his sickbed. After Acre's surrender, his French ally departed, leaving Richard in command. At Arsuf, Richard faced Saladin's 25,000 horsemen, more than double his force. He held formation until the Muslim horses tired, then led a devastating counterattack, cutting through enemy forces as if reaping harvest with a sickle. At Jaffa in 1192, Richard, with just 10 knights, charged into Saladin's surprise dawn attack, causing the Muslim leader to retreat. Weakened by illness and threats to his European domains, Richard negotiated peace with Saladin, securing Christian passage to Jerusalem and coastal holdings. After imprisonment returning home, he forgave his treacherous brother John before dying at 42 from gangrene in 1199. Years later, Saracen mothers quieted crying children by saying, "Wisht, here is King Richard." As the Ottoman Empire threatened Europe, two remarkable defenders emerged: John Hunyadi in Hungary and George Castriotti, Skanderbeg, in Albania. Hunyadi, the White Knight of Wallachia, attacked deep into enemy territory to rally oppressed Christians. His greatest triumph came at Belgrade in 1456 against Sultan Muhammad II's massive army. Defenders fought fiercely, with women joining the battle and raining fire upon attackers. A spontaneous Christian counterattack wounded the Sultan, forcing retreat. Despite victory, Hunyadi died of plague 20 days later. Skanderbeg, taken as a hostage at age 10 and trained as a janissary, rose through Ottoman ranks before defecting during Hunyadi's campaign. After reclaiming his ancestral fortress, he renounced Islam to become avenger of his family and country. For 25 years, Skanderbeg defended Albania against overwhelming odds. When Sultan Murad II besieged Kroja, Skanderbeg's small force and guerrilla tactics forced Murad to abandon the siege after 8 months and 20,000 casualties. Skanderbeg died of plague in 1468, warning about Ottoman divide-and-conquer strategies. His prediction proved accurate. Kroja fell, and despite promises of safe passage, the men were slaughtered and women and children enslaved. History remembers him as Vlad the Impaler. Taken hostage by Sultan Murad II as a child, Vlad spent 6 years in captivity before reclaiming Wallachia's throne in 1456. When Muhammad II demanded tribute and children for his army, Vlad had the emissaries' turbans nailed to their heads. When Ottoman officials attempted to capture him through deception, he created his infamous Forest of the Impaled. Vlad counterattacked across the Danube, using his Turkish fluency to recapture a fortress. He claimed to have killed 23,884 Turks, not including those burned in their homes. In 1462, Muhammad assembled 300,000 men against Vlad's 30,000 peasants. As the Turks advanced, Vlad employed scorched earth tactics and guerrilla warfare. On June 1617, Vlad raided the Ottoman camp with a few thousand horsemen, attempting to assassinate Muhammad. For 6 hours, his forces created chaos as Turks believed a large foreign army had attacked. When Muhammad reached Targoviste, he found 20,000 impaled Turkish captives, a sight that forced his retreat. Despite this victory, Vlad was betrayed by his brother, imprisoned for 13 years, and, though briefly reclaiming his throne in 1476, died in battle shortly after. These 8 defenders, once celebrated as heroes, are now often vilified by their civilizational heirs. Modern academics distort history to fit contemporary paradigms, dismissing figures like Richard the Lionheart despite contrary historical evidence. A pattern emerges. These defenders were typically loved by common people while being undermined by elites who often sided with Islamic enemies for personal gain. This division proved fatal. After the deaths of Skanderbeg, Hunyadi, and Vlad, their regions fell to Ottoman rule for centuries. The Ottoman strategy exploited Christian disunity. The Christian potentates will never unite against us. They waste much time before they begin to act. This allowed a numerically inferior force to conquer vast territories. What becomes of a civilization that no longer honors its defenders? These 8 men, though imperfect products of their time, preserved Western civilization through their resistance. Without them, there would not have been a West to speak of today.